Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm Kyle Sullivan, your host. Looking forward to getting in this episode with a young man, high school student from Carolina Beach named Isaiah Arnold. We're going to get to hear his story and trace his life here on the My Wave podcast. It's all about My Wave, that one wave, good or bad, that's made the most impact, most memorable. And we're going to tie in the story of life and surfing. And I hope that you have been tuning in and learning and laughing a little bit with us. And super excited to jump into this episode with Isaiah. First, want to give a thanks to Co-Pilot Studio. Thank you, Billy. You're doing an awesome job behind the scenes. And you can check him out on Instagram at Co-Pilot Studio. But we want to also throw out a thanks to our sponsor for this episode is Sully's Archery Tag. Sully's Archery Tag is played like dodgeball, but with arrows. And it's a great time, a mobile business. They bring the fun to you. You can check them out, sullysarcherytag.com. So Isaiah Arnold, good evening. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good. How are you doing? I'm doing well. And so one of the things about this episode that's kind of unique is I really don't know you. Yeah. Like, we met at Surf Church.
Mm-hmm.
I think we met one other time, maybe with Kai down at CB, but that's vague.
Yeah, we don't know each other's stories.
Yet. Yeah, and then I bumped into you last night at that planning meeting. Are you excited about?
I'm so excited. I got, like, my brother's going to help out with the surf designs and all stuff.
Oh, sweet.
Like that.
Sweet. Great. Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, we are at Wrightsville Beach. We started last year, January, Surf Church. We meet under the Crystal Pier, Oceanic Restaurant. We meet there, rain or shine, waves or no waves. We always have coffee and donuts, and everybody's welcome, and we just talk about Jesus, and it's very sweet and simple, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of somebody sharing a story, their testimony, a Bible verse that's meant something to them. It's been super chill. We'll surf before or after if there's waves. Man, it's just been awesome, and we've had people come up. You've come up from CB to attend at 7:30 on a Sunday morning. That's a long drive from CB.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I heard that there's a church that just meets under a pier,
yeah,
like, it meant so much, because my freshman year in high school, I woke up at 4:30 every single morning before school and did my devotions under the tiki bar, on the tiki
no
bar
way.
At 5.
No
and
way.
You can. I put it on my Instagram, like, for, like, people that went to school but didn't have time to do their devotions.
Yeah.
So I just put my favorite verse, and then I just, all it is a verse, and then just like a black screen or something.
Yeah.
And then it'd be on there. And then people at school would be telling me, I saw your verse. And it was like, meant a lot. And like, it just kept making me want to do it more. But also like the connection with God, like a daily connection is just so, so amazing.
Yeah. But you were doing it at a tiki bar.
Mm-hmm.
And now Carolina Beach is getting ready to launch Surf Church, yeah, May 16th at the tiki bar underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's just been so awesome. And so all those folks have been coming up from CB can now focus on, you know, getting together with brothers and sisters and,
yeah,
and surfers and skaters, and just, I'm excited.
Awesome.
I'm so excited. So be looking for that. There may be an Instagram created soon for that, and super pumped for that to take off.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have one mutual friend that I know really well, and that's the young man Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And
great. He's an amazing surfer too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. He worked for me last summer at surf camp, and then this summer it sounds like he's going to be working for Tony Sylvania down
mm-hmm,
there
mm-hmm.
at his surf school. So
yeah. I hope to work with him before I leave to OBX too.
Okay.
And do some surf lessons with him.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to, you going to OBX this summer?
Yeah, I'm leaving June 30. No, July 1st, because track doesn't end until 30th. But
okay.
I just talked to Mr. Tripp. He called me yesterday, and I'll be working for Real.
What are you going to do up there?
I'm going to
Real Water Sports?
Real Water Sports.
No way.
Yeah. It was the craziest thing. I met him in the water out there. I went on a family trip with Noah Carter.
Uh huh.
Like a great friend of my an amazing friend, and he took me for 10 days there because they do it like yearly.
Yeah.
And the owner of like Real Water Shop was saying like I had a good vibe, a good energy, a good surf, and like and he said that he had a place to stay,
yeah,
and a job and really good training I can get there, because summer is just perfect longboarding there.
Yeah,
like it's amazing. We had 10 days of just dawn patrolled every morning.
Yeah,
and he ended up being there. Like he, like the owner, like Mr. Tripp, like he's an amazing surfer. Like he spends a lot of time in the water too. So it was really cool, like connecting with someone that understands the water out there.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you can be there the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. I'm sweet. So excited. But like you're still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you through Kai, because Kai ran for me cross country, and now he's down at
yeah, I mean,
Ashley
I see
High
him
School.
At practice every day.
Yeah, and so you ran cross country with him. You run track.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me last night you just had time trials yesterday.
Yeah.
So what do you run?
I mainly run the 800. That's the one I'm best at, even though it hurts the most.
800's but, killer.
The 400 is what we had the trial for.
Okay.
And our team is looking really good. Really
good.
And our cross country season is going to be really good next year.
Okay.
With all the other seniors out and stuff. It's going to be one to watch.
Nice, nice. I hope we can get back to somewhat normalcy.
Yeah, I know.
With the seasons.
It's crazy.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. So you said longboard that your time at the Outer Banks, you're looking forward to, because it's a great longboard wave.
Yeah.
So you primarily longboard?
Yeah. I compete in longboarding. I connect with the longboard a lot better. I like the style. Mm-hmm. I don't like the big turns. I like people to like, you can see emotion and style and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can really, and it's not like I'm sore, I won't be good, I won't be surfing this good. It's just like all mental, like it's the mental block that makes you not surf good. Like it's surfing, you're always gonna have fun.
Right.
It's just like if you allow it to let you.
Yeah. Well, maybe here as we progress in this podcast, we can talk about that aspect, the style of it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's back up a little bit. When did you pick up surfing?
My brother Zach, he shortboarded a lot, and then you know those Costco boards, the wave storms?
The wave storms.
My dad got one just so the family would have one, and then we all fought over this one wave storm. We all took turns on it. We didn't put a leash on it because we kept taking the boards from each other.
You and your siblings?
Mm-hmm.
How many siblings you have?
I have 11 siblings.
11 siblings?
Yeah.
So a small family.
Eight brothers and three sisters, and great parents, amazing parents.
Yeah.
And, that wanting to follow the brothers and then getting better than the brothers meant a lot to me, because excellence means a lot to me.
Okay.
Like, taking your time on something and being like really thinking about each step you take is really important, excellence on that. So I just practiced and then 1 year I wanted to compete, because those are the friends who I was hanging out with who compete.
Yeah.
So I wanted to compete, and then
about what age was that that you started competing?
I'd say 15.
Okay.
15, 14. I think it was like last, it was two summers ago.
Okay.
That I started. So it should be around that.
Yeah. And, so you compete with ESA?
Yes, ESA, and I hope to do more NSSA.
Okay.
Because they can get me a lot of higher, and also compete. I mean, NUSA and stuff like that up in California would
okay.
be awesome.
Okay, so we're throwing out ESA, NSSA, NUSA. We're throwing out these terms, and part of this podcast is I want to teach people stuff. Like
yeah.
People maybe are new to the sport, or what's the ESA stand for?
Eastern Surf Association.
Okay, and it's primarily East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But then you mentioned the NSSA.
And NSSA would be more national,
right?
More West Coast and East Coast and everything around. And I mean, it's more expensive to get in, but you get a lot out of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsors get to see you. Different sponsors get to see you because you'll be on the West Coast. ESA is on the Eastern, so sponsors on the Eastern will see you, and they help a lot with that.
Yeah. So as you began to compete, You mentioned sponsors. Have you picked up some sponsors?
Yes, my first competition down at the Pipe.
Okay.
It was an
ESA. The Pipe is a break name in CB.
Yes.
It's not a secret.
Mm.
But it's got more of a name than just the Pipe, doesn't it?
Mm.
Or you just? I've always heard it called the
Poop Pipe.
The Poop Pipe. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting how things get their name. Mm-hmm. So the Pipe. You were at a comp at the Pipe.
Yep. And I picked up CB Surf Shop after that. They picked me up there, and Inkwell.
Inkwell.
Inkwell is a it's for surfers, black surfers that these amazing veterans use their extra money. Brad Turner, he's the one that picked me up, and he helped pay with heats. He drove me to places before I had a car.
Mm-hmm.
He really did help a lot.
And so these are veterans.
Yes, veterans.
Sweet, sweet. What's their website?
I don't know the exact.
Okay.
Their name is Inkwell.
Inkwell
Surf.
Inkwell Surf.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you guys out there, Google Inkwell Surf, see what good they're doing out there. And that's super exciting. So you picked those two up after your first event. I mean, did you score well in that event?
Yeah, my first heat, I got first in it.
Yeah.
People were texting me, were like, so how did the first one go? Like, they didn't really know. I was like, I got first. And then my second heat, there was at least 20 of my friends already coming down the beach
because
they heard about it. They're like, he's cool. Doing good. Let's go watch. And then my family came down and... I don't know, it meant a lot to me because I was nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, I can surf good on my own. And like usually when I'm surfing, I'll be the guy furthest to the right of the big group because I like to be just at one when I'm surfing. I don't like to talk too much.
Okay.
I feel like it spoils it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really do I really do enjoy competing and the connections you get from that.
Yeah.
And CB Surf Shop, and SX3. Mr. Tom, they were my first. I got a board from them, a customized free board, and CB Surf Shop. Mr. Daniel from there hooked me up with them.
Okay.
And
they're a local shaper?
Yeah, local shaper from Wilmington, okay. SX3.
SX3. Okay.
And he knows what he's doing. Like, all I was able to do is tell him over the phone. I was like, I didn't know how to really tell you dimensions and stuff. I just told you the type of style I wanted. And he just knew it. He just knew that the rail needed to be smaller in the back. That it needed to be a square tail. He knew that the rocker needed to be different.
Yeah.
All I told him was the color I wanted.
Well, that's great. So what size are you riding?
9'8"
square
eight. Tail.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big board. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I had a Torque 9'6" from CB Surf Shop, but it's a performance board. It's like what Tony Schiavone uses.
The one you ride now.
The
Torque.
The Torque, the white one.
Okay.
It's on my Instagram, but I don't
know. Now Torque, isn't that an epoxy?
Yeah, that's the epoxy, light, really light. So like surfing, trying to walk to the nose on a big wave, it gets a lot of wind under it.
Mm-hmm,
so it's really hard to stabilize yourself.
Now, the one you got made for you.
Yes, by Essex.
Is that epoxy as well? Or
That one is fiberglass. I think it's a double glass. It's really, really durable.
Yeah.
And it's just like an amazing board. Like I easily know where I need to be on that board because it'll do what I want it to do.
Yeah.
It was just made really well.
So fantastic.
Really, thank you so much, Mr. Tom. I love the board. I love it.
That's great. That's great. Maybe we'll get to meet him someday soon.
Yes, hopefully. He surfs that Pipe.
Does he?
That's how I met him. I never got to meet him. Mr. Daniel just said he would help me out with the board.
Yeah.
And I was surfing at Pipe and he said, "Nice board." And I said, "Thank you." And then Mr. Brad was out in the water too.
Yeah.
I'm from Inkwell. And he said, "You know, that's Tom over there." So I paddled over.
No
and
way.
I said, "Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the board." And it was a great blessing. And that's the other thing about surfing is like, it's really nice people, like genuinely like nice people. And like, and that also that daily connection with God was me devoting my mornings praying for good connections and praying for better surf.
Yeah.
Praying for a good contest. And it really like God does show. Like it really does show. It's amazing.
Yes. Yes, that is true.
It's great.
Yeah, the scriptures tell us to seek first the kingdom of God mm-hmm. and his righteousness. All these things mm-hmm. shall be added to us. And that, you know, for those of you out there listening, we're not specifically a Christian podcast where we talk about it. I mean, I'm specifically a Christian,
yeah.
but we're here to just talk about a wave. But it's my wave, my story, my life. And if you, the surfer, and your life connects with God and Christ mm-hmm. in the ocean, and you know, it's got to come out.
Yeah.
And thanks for sharing that.
I can't hold that.
No, good stuff. All right, so we haven't even got to your wave yet.
No,
and maybe it's because we've never had this sit down conversation. No, maybe we should have had coffee earlier or something. But you were in school, and since I just invited you last night, it was a little hard to get some coffee going. But let's go to that wave, and where were you for this wave that you want to talk about?
I was in Puerto Rico, wilderness.
Okay, so you're at wilderness, Puerto Rico. I'll be there next week.
Yes.
Super excited.
I'm excited for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So excited.
So at wilderness and mm-hmm. wilderness, for those that have never traveled to Puerto Rico, it's on the west side, around the hump that drops down
mm-hmm.
and, it's a pretty famous break.
Yeah. It's an amazing break. I don't know how to describe it. Cause like, it's like a dream break because it's huge waves, but you're able to work the paddle out where, like, you're not dying out there. Mm-hmm. You can paddle around that break.
Okay.
And you just get through one of the keys. You just paddle around all these. You can just paddle around it.
That's, yeah.
That, I don't know why I like that. It's just.
Well, you like it because we're used to East Coast poundings mm-hmm. when we paddle out.
Yeah, we're used to the heavy barrels. Like right. But the Puerto Rico, the swell was just, it was just rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole like week before the trip, my buddies were like, you're not going to be able to longboard that. You're not going to be able to longboard Puerto Rico. And I was like, if Tony Savani is doing it, I really want to like try it. Like he's doing it really well out there.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, I wasn't able to bring the board. It was so much money to just ship it. And I was just happy enough to go. So it really didn't really get in my head.
Right.
And I didn't mind shortboarding because I do shortboard. So
you were shortboarding for this wave?
Mm-hmm, one I fell on, yes.
Okay, the one you're going to talk about.
The one, yeah.
All right, no spoiler. Mm-hmm. No spoiler. All right, so you're at wilderness. How big was it?
The report said 10 to 12, but it could easily have been 15. Easily.
Yeah.
And that's like Hawaiian standards on the surf line.
Okay.
So it was crazy.
Now, pause right there. Surf line, Puerto Rico, you said it was Hawaiian standard.
Yeah, Hawaiian standard.
Explain, because a lot of people use, obviously, maybe you're new to sport or whatever, but a lot of people say that they'll go to a site like Magic Seaweed,
mm-hmm.
or they'll go to Surfline, or they'll go to, there's a new one. Have you seen Pinpoint Surf?
Oh, no. I need to check
that. I think it's a local guy that's put it out. I got to do some research.
Is
Pinpoint
it a cam
Surf?
At all?
No cam, but it's pretty detailed. Pinpointsurf.com. Right. Check them out.
Yeah, I will.
I'll shoot you a text with that info.
Forget.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you said a Hawaiian measurement
mm-hmm.
versus everywhere else.
Yeah. Standard would be from like on the face of it. And then I think Hawaiian would be the back of the wave.
Right. So
and the back of the wave doesn't show you the actual top to bottom drop.
Right. So a standard is from the bottom to the top of the wave.
Mm-hmm. If you're looking from the face of the wave.
Looking from the beach to the wave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're saying the Hawaiian is looking back from the ocean back to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the backside of the wave.
Yeah, and that's like maybe like it can't be the whole wave at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So a Hawaiian may look at a wave and go, it's what, 4 feet?
Yeah. And to us, maybe visitors, eight. Gringos, we'd be crazy. I mean, we would only focus on what we can see.
Right, right. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of interesting to the measurement differences.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I go over to Hawaii. And say, yeah, man, it's a 3 foot day. I'm like sick.
Yeah. I'm on my way.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. So you paddle out the wilderness. Were you by yourself with a crew?
I was with the big crew, the ESA crew. I mean,
okay,
because it was them that took me. It was mainly a fat Miss Gina.
Mm-hmm.
She runs a lot of the, she directs like all the ESA there. And, Thank you, Ms. Gina, for bringing me on the trip. Thank you so much. And it was a family trip, and then it was just people kept asking and asking, and then it just added on. It was mainly people that competed. So, and with Ms. Gina's big heart, she just kept saying yes and yes, and ended up being like 13 kids.
Wow.
Or 11 kids and two parents.
Okay. Like that. That's cool.
And it was a
Did y'all know each other?
It was all boys. It was everybody that hangs out at the same house. We all hang out at the North End and surf. And it's just like I went from surfing by myself with two friends or something to seeing these Instagram posts with people surfing at the North End with all this big crew. And like I think the big crew is really important to me, the family part of it.
Yeah.
And still like going back to like surfing, like having a good day of surfing or bad day of surfing, like it's always a good day. It's you're out in the water, you're not working. It's just how you let it affect you. And like the way a big group affects me is just like the brotherhood means a lot. Like you people have your back and stuff.
Yeah.
So and so back to the trip. So everybody that we all knew each other.
That's fun.
It made the group a lot more fun to be around with, even though we like could get on each other's head a lot. We did a lot, but it was really, really fun. It was a really fun trip. And so we had a guide there, Dale.
Yeah, Dale Pickford.
Mm-hmm. With PR Surf Adventures. He knows everything. Like I don't know how to tell you, but he just knows.
Yes.
Everything there.
Yeah, I've surfed with him at Hobos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could have him for one day and he would show you everywhere on the island and you'd be set for the rest of your life. It's crazy.
You know, I need to reach out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because next week we'll be taking a group down.
Yeah.
And our group's going to be a little different. We're not just going on a surf mission, but we're going to surf. It's called the Surf and Serve. So we're going to surf in the morning, then we're serving at a camp. Youth for Christ down in Puerto Rico bought a facility and they're fixing it up. So we're going to go and work
awesome.
While we're down there.
That
so yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. God bless you guys.
But it would be great to get up with Dale.
Yeah. And he will connect you with shops. He'll tell you where there's boards to rent.
We've already got that taken care of at Surf Zone Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Yeah. Through Awaco.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah. 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 Well, I think so far in this podcast, while we haven't got to your wave, we've dropped a lot of information for people to check out and look up, mm-hmm. and that's good. So paddling out with the crew at the Wilderness,
mm-hmm.
big conditions from an East Coast standard measurement as you saw it. What would you say it was? 15. You said 15?
I said 15.
15 foot face.
Mm-hmm.
Other people out already?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing about Puerto Rico is wind is a big factor when it comes to like you're the weather of the wave or whether.
Yeah.
But there's also like it could be completely blown out and then you're on the other side of the rock and it's clean.
Yeah.
So the morning is the most important. You got to be there before dawn, before other people are out there. You can get a 40-minute sesh by yourself if you wanted to. You just have to, it's all about timing.
Yeah.
That's all Dale was talking about was timing is really important there. And then also respecting the locals is really, really important. Like you should paddle out there. Like if it's an easy paddle out, then great for you. Like it's going to be hard paddle outs out there. So you might not even spend that much time. You'll be tired.
Yeah.
But if you're having a great time out there, don't steal the peak. Like you do have to, it's not something on paper, but it's just the respect of the wave. It's not something you can I can't make sense to you. It's something you have to figure it out on your own. Like,
yeah.
You got to respect.
Yeah. But that is an important lesson that surfers need to learn, especially as they travel other destinations.
Traveling out of the United States
is supporting and respecting
mm-hmm.
the local population.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, and I saw this, and I went to visit my son in South Africa, Jeffrey's Bay, and paddled out with him. And he's like, okay, Dad, we're paddling out. And these guys are all local. And so we're going to sit here and work our way into the lineup, into the priority. He goes, they may look at you and say, you can have it. So you better take it.
Be ready always.
Yeah. And he said, just be respectful. Mm-hmm. Well, this kid from California paddles out.
Cali.
And where does he go? He paddles past the locals to the peak, takes that first wave, that wave of the set, comes back out. Instead of getting in the lineup, he paddles past them and gets to the peak. Mm-hmm. Well, the locals let him get by for maybe twice, and then they cussed him out. They let him out. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's good advice, especially as you know, folks out there traveling.
Yeah, there's too many good spots in like a place like Puerto Rico to really get that stubborn, to really take your time out of your like wave to really like make someone mad. Like you really, there's so many peaks out there. You just shouldn't be disturbing them if unless you want to.
Unless you want to fight.
Yeah, unless you want to fight, then
yeah. So you paddled out with your crew, other folks out there. Now you say you weren't on your longboard.
Yeah, at this moment I was not on the longboard. We haven't rented the longboard yet.
Okay.
And this is about like the third day. We were able to surf a couple days before getting used to what's the place you pass before you get to Wilderness?
It's Ruins.
Ruins. Mm-hmm. That's the first place we did. It was like a choppy break, but it was like a CB break, but there was still like a 4 foot kind of break.
Yeah.
And it was coming to the beach, so like we were really just learning how to handle the reef, how to
wipe out around the reef.
Yeah, like stay flat, how to know the keyholes and putting a stick where you know it's safe to come out.
Okay.
And Dale also taught us like the day when we go out to Wilderness together, and he was helping us that day. He would split us up so 15 kids doesn't ruin a break for everybody, because it's so easy. Like, and that's the other mental part is like the surfing around you, you can't let them affect you. Like all you got to worry about is being ready for your time on that peak. Not stealing the peak, just being patient out there.
Yeah, good advice. Good advice. Yeah, I'm gonna reach out to Dale.
And, yes, definitely.
See if he can't meet us. Amazing. And talk us through some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, PR Surf Adventure is his Instagram, and he posts regularly. And he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Look him up. All right, so your wave. You waited patiently for your wave, right?
Yes.
All right. So what happens?
All right, my wave. This is me still trying to get used to paddling into the wave, because the wave is really powerful there. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful when you're in it. But when you're trying to paddle into it, it's a really thick peak out there. Like if there's a wave, if like you're out there, the furthest peak out there, if it's really like not, it's a good thing when the wave's almost already crashing on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you need that extra boost to get in.
Okay.
And so I'm paddling. I waited for a set wave because I paddled too long to just get on a small wave. And I'm not really that good at duck diving, so there's a lot of times I'm swimming. But I was just ready. I was ready to take it. And I was paddling really, really hard, and this is around the time when the winds are switching. So that's the other thing, is you got wind pushing you and a thick wave trying to get into.
Uh-huh.
So I'm paddling and I feel like blinded by the spray, but I know I'm in it. Like I know I got enough speed this time because I failed so many other times trying to get in with the shortboard.
Yeah.
And I knew I was in it, so I stood up basically like blind.
Okay.
And then I just see like the beach. I get to see one view of the beach.
Okay.
And just like at that moment, I was like, I know I'm about to fall, but this is the coolest thing ever. Like, I was so high in the air. It was awesome.
All right. And hold on. Before we go down the face of that.
Yeah.
Let's chat for a minute. Shortboard takeoff, longboard takeoff. What do you find is the difference between the two?
Longboarding, you want to pop up as early as possible. If you're someone that nose rides and crosswalks, you want to have control of the wave. Like you don't want it to have control of you. You want to be able to read it before it even happens.
Yeah. Like, so that takes timing.
Yeah. Timing, the strength of your paddle. You can feel like which way the water is going just from paddling, just where it hits you the most and stuff like that.
Right. Right. And so that wave's moving. And you're paddling in with it, in it.
But also a lot of wind is pushing against me.
Okay.
And all the spray is coming at me. And I know I'm not disturbing anybody. No one else is going for it. But I know people are watching, because everybody watches wipeouts.
Yes.
Everybody does. And you can tell a wipeout from just the guy's form. You just know.
Right.
You just know. And my form was not good. I was just super wide, just trying to put my weight like in the nose just so I can get down the wave. Like,
right.
All I want to do is just ride the wave. Because my friend Ethan Lowe. He's sponsored by a lot of people, and he's by CB Surf Shop and Caro Surf Band. He's a great surfer, and he was out there just shredding it near the like the rocks and stuff. So I was surfing with these good, really good kids. So to me, I was like, I have to take the biggest wave. I have to take the wave I see. So I went for it, and in that view let me just sit for a minute. That right. view of like got blinded. I got to see myself at the top, and then just start rolling down the wave, and just you can just certain parts of your body are not supposed to be twisted like that. And if you get a chance to open your eyes on the water, do it during like a fall or a duck dive. Uh-huh. 'Cause you get to actually see everything that's going on. I love surfing. I love being like, I love surfing good mm-hmm. on days where my friends are around, but also that falling and that submission mm-hmm. to the nature is crazy. Yeah. Like you just let it take you, just fall.
Yeah.
You have to land flat and then hope you don't hit the reef. I got lucky where I never had to hell down and I never stepped on any origins.
Right.
So I was that trip to me was amazing. I didn't get any injuries. I mean, my buddies were getting hold downs. They were getting like at least 11 on their spikes.
Urchins?
On
them.
Yeah. Oh. And it was crazy. But that's when I thought I was going to hit the reef. I was so scared. But at the same time, like you had to make yourself flat. So you're also in that comfortable like position when you're like you're just letting go.
Right.
And you're scared and you're letting go and you're feeling yourself and you're just feeling yourself just being just destroyed and then just getting up. And then screaming at the top of your lungs. It's just amazing. It's
a
amazing.
Scream of fear or a scream of what?
Joy. I mean, you survived it. You're in Puerto Rico. You're having a great time. You're
all your friends got to watch you eat it.
And oh, yeah, you got your friends laughing and people. It's just crazy. Like, I mean, I had good rides too. And, but you can't compare it to a good fall. Like
yeah.
A good fall is a good fall. After that moment, the next day I was out there. It said 9 to 8.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I'm going to take the longboard out. Like the rental longboard Matthew had. And I said, and then I was just out there and I was like, what am I afraid of? I don't have anything to be afraid of except reef. Like I know what a wave is gonna feel like if I fall. Like I know it's right. not gonna be as strong as the last one.
Yeah.
So I felt like connected with the wave at that point.
So let's pause for just a second. You chose a wipeout wave to talk about
mm-hmm.
as one that sticks out in your memory. You've had tons of great waves.
Mm-hmm.
You probably had some barrels. You've probably had some other maneuvers and different things where just you've probably had longer waves, but you chose a wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It was the beginning of Isaiah Surfing in Puerto Rico. It's the beginning of me feeling comfortable and like feeling at home when I understand like this wave will hurt me if it wants to.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I've talked to other surfers, mm-hmm. and sometimes when I paddle out on a larger day, I want that first wave, and I, in a weird way, I want to wipe out.
Yes, you like failing is good. Failing is good if you have a mindset of getting back on your board.
Yeah.
Failing is good.
Taking that beating,
mm-hmm.
getting those jitters out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're at a new spot, it's a different wave. There's a reef under you. I mean, we know that the sand is hard. We've bounced off of it several times.
Yeah.
But we don't have urchins. We don't have big rocks and sharp points. And, you know, and so surfing conditions are different. But there is something about eating it and eating it hard and coming up and realizing, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm alive.
I'm alive. And then getting that board and paddling back out and okay, good. So that's an important lesson, I think,
mm-hmm.
even in life. You know?
Yes. I mean, like with sinning. I mean, it's like you sinning is not a good thing, but like it does happen in life. Like it mm-hmm. will happen to you. It's the mindset of how you let it affect you.
And right.
The mindset of how you fix it and mm-hmm. how you pray that you won't do it again.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be meaningful. It's not, you can't lie to God. He's
right.
It's a personal relationship. You can't lie to that.
Yeah.
So like it really does like sinning or failing mm-hmm. or just messing up relationship or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just the how you fix it and how it's you let it affect
learning you. From it.
Learning from it.
It happens. Mm-hmm. It happened. Mm-hmm. I can't change what happened, but I can mm-hmm. learn from it.
Exactly.
I think it's Psalm 37 says, yea, though we fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, mm-hmm. for the Lord upholds him in his hand. And I think it's Proverbs, I can't remember, it says, though he falls seven times, the righteous person gets back up. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a great life lesson in the water and out of the water yeah. is falling is part of learning.
Yeah, you don't have to do it. Like, you don't have to do hard things, but you do it and you just follow the motion. Just do it. Do the action mm-hmm. of that, of fixing your sin or fixing your mistake or failing. Like, the action of it means a lot more than just you thinking you should have done it or telling someone, I should have done it.
But right.
You didn't, yeah, the action, you could have done it with like a frowny face, mm-hmm. but you did it because it meant a lot to you. You tried to fix your problem or yeah. learn from it.
Yeah. And not just, you know, coming at it from a sin angle mm-hmm. and learning from it, but in life,
yeah.
we've got to take some risks yeah. and to see successes. There's often more failures,
mm-hmm.
but it's in those failures that we learn and we pick up and we grow and we move forward. And so that's interesting. I've had a couple other people talk about their most memorable wave, and it was a wipeout. And it's very similar, mm-hmm. you know, it was a lesson learned.
So eye-opening. Like, you have, like, I recommend you just paddling out and just jump. Just jump. Don't even worry about riding it. Just really feel it.
Just take the hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. What advice would you give to someone maybe new to the sport? What would you, if you had a chance to sit down, talk with them, what would you share with them?
Style is so important when it comes to it. You show emotion in style. You show strength in style. You show weakness in style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, style means, like, I'm trying to like break down style. Style is your point of view on your board and you seeing what the wave is gonna do, and you have to have experience. You have to learn how to read the wave and your timing. But style is like what you choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
What you don't do it because it gets you points. You don't do it because you wanted to get the good video. But like, you read the wave. And it's how your body motion, mm-hmm. you're the way you pump, the way you hold your weight, your compression to get more speed for the next pump. It's just like the smile on your face in the camera when mm-hmm. you don't know someone's videoing you and you're smiling and you're having a great time.
Right.
It's that part. It's the heart to wave mm-hmm. part.
It's a connection.
Yeah, really good
and connection. And you can see it. There's mm-hmm. certain people out there that you see it. They're in tune, they're in the zone, and it's fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not choppy or awkward. And I'm sure there's days where you're out there and like, I don't even know how to surf.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the biggest kook. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other days where it's just like you and the wave.
Yeah, and I do highly recommend doing longboarding and shortboarding, mm-hmm. not doing just one. Because I just started doing, I started skateboarding, and like, it taught me so much about falling. Like, mm-hmm. falling hurts
yeah.
a lot on concrete.
A whole lot more.
But the part of you getting up right after, not waiting for people to see you fall and people waiting to see if you're, like, okay, but, like, that getting up right after you fall, knowing what happened and knowing how to fix it, having the muscle memory,
yeah.
having just the, like, understanding, like, how to fail.
Yeah.
And how to fix it.
That is a good lesson.
Yeah.
It's a very good lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, there's more we could talk about, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, surfing and just getting to know you here has been awesome. And thank you so much for taking the time to share that wilderness wipeout.
Yes.
Maybe that's what we'll call this one.
I like
but,
that.
But, you know, the lesson learned
yes.
is important. Mm-hmm. Well, man, I look forward to surfing with you sometime soon.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Looks like maybe a little something tomorrow.
Tomorrow's southwest winds. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Pelicans because the hotels block a lot of that west.
Okay. Okay.
But also North End's got the rocks. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'll check everything.
Yeah, we're looking at somewhere Wrightsville Beach.
Oh, and Wrightsville. I told myself today, like, it would be worth the drive tomorrow.
Yeah. It's going to be a little more good. Well, it's going to be the report I saw really light south winds.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a little texture, but looks like something in the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
It's a good time in the water. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And we'll be with the crew, you know, hooting and hollering for each other. And
exactly.
Yeah. Laughing at each other and having a great time.
Yeah. That's the other part of Outer Banks. Like the vibe I got there in the water wasn't like grungy old people. Like it was people that cheered every wave. Mm-hmm. Dilly Dow.
Mm-hmm.
Best shortboard I have ever seen in my life. Mm. He can do an air off one pump. Just one pump. He's smaller built, but he has so much speed. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I got to surf with him, and me and him yelled at every wave of each other. We shared waves. I have GoPro footage of him just screaming behind me and stuff. And he was out there in Outer Banks. Yeah. I mean, in Puerto Rico when we were there.
Oh, yeah.
And he connected me with Devo, one of his shop sponsors, and Mr. Bob, who owns the Devo Surf Shop. He was out there taking pictures. Mm-hmm. So I got
That's Duck Village Outfitters? Is that DVO?
I think so, something like that. I still don't know the whole brand.
Yeah. If it's DVO, I think that's Duck Village.
From Outer Banks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And got to meet them. We met each other at the same restaurant, which was awesome, before we had to leave the next day.
Sweet.
So it was really... And just that vibe in the water. It's that you get to put... It's not what you take out of that group. It's what you get to put in it. And mm-hmm. if it's good energy, like, it's just so much fun. It's just surfing. It's really great.
Sick, man. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, hope
Thanks
you enjoyed.
Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode with Isaiah. And Isaiah, before we wrap it up,
mm-hmm.
in your Bible reading, have you ever come across a passage of scripture that talks about surfing?
I don't, none that I remember. I mean, I probably have something connected with like the ocean and water I have in my notes or something, but.
Yeah. Check out the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 27, verse 44. Paul was in a shipwreck,
mm-hmm.
large crew, a lot of people on board. The boat hit reef, broke up.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that story?
I love this story.
Yeah. So in verse 40,
crazy.
Yeah, in verse 44, it says, ship broke up. They all made it to shore. It mm-hmm. says some on pieces of the boat, but it also says others on boards.
Oh.
So what do you think? It's plausible?
I think that's where it began.
Yeah. I mean, they all get tumbled in. They all make it. But you know, there was a couple of those guys who were like, hey, you want to go back out?
I think they went back out.
I think so. Y'all have an awesome day. Whatever you're doing, be safe. Peace.
Peace.